listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. I am your host, Tony St. Tone, and we have Janie Beauclair via Clearwater, Florida. She's coming in through the telephone. Are you there, Janie?
I am, and it's been a beautiful day in Florida. I'm here today at a client event I've been working on for Artistic Journey, and they had a big, beautiful dinner and some great Thanksgiving wishes and all that fun stuff. So it's been a great, great day. And how's it going in California there, Tony?
You know, it was a little rainy, which I understood that it was rainy actually out there in Florida, which is pretty funny since, you know, we both came from originally Connecticut where it always rains, and we started off in Florida and then moved to California, and we moved to Beverly Hills, that is. But, you know, what's so weird is that, you know, we're trying to escape the cold, and now this cold weather just keeps coming around us. And I think Jamaica.
Yeah, it was real cold here.
Jamaica or Hawaii is next, I think.
I was thinking Fiji. I had that conversation today.
Ah, Fiji.
You know, there's Bora Bora, where you hang out over top of the island, over the waters in your little hut.
I like Bora Bora.
I think that'll work. So while I was down here, I was staying at the Marriott, and they had a fantastic chef. And I started to chit-chat with him a little bit one day, and I learned that he's doing some really cool stuff, and cool stuff in the humanitarian sense. So I bugged him a little bit and said, hey, I want you on my radio show. You got to tell people how easy it is to do the things that, you know, you're doing. He's doing a really cool shoe shine thing, and he's doing right into the areas where the homeless are and helping them out getting their medical checkups and things like that. So
yeah,
Melvin's going to be on with us.
He's actually doing HIV testing, which I think is great.
Yeah, and all, you know, for just love. Yeah, you got to love those kind of people. There's a lot of us around, and you should become one too if you're not one already.
I totally agree. So let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. The day just passed.
Yeah, so you were invited to do something you weren't able to due to another commitment, but you were invited to do something with the turkey giveaway. Tell me about that.
Well, the turkey giveaway, there was about, I think, 3,000 turkeys given away here in Los Angeles, and it was a great, great event. Friends of ours had attended it. And again, you know, it's a time for giving. It's a time to give thanks. And when you have enough to give, you begin to live in the state of abundance.
That is true.
Yes, and I just happen to have a song, State of Abundance. But it is true. It's like when you start thinking about what you do have as opposed to what you don't have, you realize you have that much more to give. And I wish it would happen more often and not just happen one day a year
for
Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know,
seems
Thanksgiving and Christmas seem so close together, and this is the time that we want to give, but the other 8 or 9, 10 months out of the year, we don't think about it as much. So I think we need to come up with another holiday that happens in the middle of summer that makes us think about giving again and giving back.
Let's have one a month. Let's have Give Back Day.
So instead of Groundhog Day,
Give Back Day.
Give your sandwich away. Instead of Flag Day, it's Feed a Friend.
I like it.
What do you think?
Feed a Friend Day. I like the name of that. Feed a Friend Day it is.
Feed a Friend.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, I'll get you next month.
Around the world, and we'll make that day. How about it?
I like it. I think it's pretty catchy, Feed a Friend. And if you don't have a friend, go make a friend. And that's one way to get it started is to just find someone and say, hey, can I buy you lunch? If they're in line at a fast food place and you purchase their lunch, I'm sure they're not going to complain.
Heard of a lot of people that do that, and it's a beautiful thing.
You know, talking about that, you know, there's been times where I've been in Florida, and you have to pay a toll, and I've had it happen at least twice, where the car in front of me paid for my toll, and I didn't know who they were, and it was like a really, really cool thing to have happen.
Yeah, and I've actually done that for a few people. I've done that before, and I paid for people behind me in the grocery line without them knowing. It's a really, really cool thing when you see somebody that can really use it and you're able to do that on an anonymous key, it's a pretty cool thing. I like the feeling you get from it. So I try to, I guess that's a form of paying it forward, yeah?
Oh, totally. And totally. So what do you do when you pay for someone's groceries, when you're ahead of them and you pay for their groceries? How does that happen?
Well, you just tell the person at the cash register that you want to pay for the person behind you, and they'll redo your credit card number into the machine for that, for the person behind you.
Oh, so you take the whole amount. It's not like you hand them a $50 bill and say, take this off the top. You actually pay for everything.
Yeah, whatever it is, because how do you know what it is?
Well, that's why I was curious. So yeah. If you pay for it with a credit card or a debit card, and you're feeling very generous, and you're feeling like you're living in the state of abundance, this is the way.
It's a good place to live.
This is the way to pay it forward. Is next time you're in line, pay for it. Pay for someone behind you.
Yeah.
Now you might be thinking to yourself, "Geez, let's get in this line where it's 10 items or less, and then I'll do it."
You know what? Any part of doing it is doing it. So
exactly.
I'm all for whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So listen, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come right back with our new friend, Melvin.
Yes, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
Positive affirmation. Rap and pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience.
I'm a man for money.
At www.sainttone.com.
We can always work it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
And welcome back. We are here with Melvin Hester, the president of Who's Your Chef? .com, and also a volunteer for CARES Outreach Services. He's out in Clearwater, Florida. How are you there, Melvin?
I'm doing wonderful.
I am so excited to have you on. I know that Janie has spoken to you, and you told her a little bit about what you do, and we knew that we had to get you on the air to tell others what you're doing out there in the community to help humanity. So give us a little bit about your background before you get started as far as what you're doing currently, but what brought you to do these types of things in the community?
Well, with the recession hit us, and I just started my business at the time, so it was like you might as well just jump off a cliff, and knew that, to keep my mind in straight and everything else, that I didn't go crazy, and I decided to give to the community. It was the only choice to do. And I did find a job and everything else. I found a part-time job working at a major hotel chain. And it went from there. And business is picking up. And also I'm still doing the outreach services. I volunteer for a mobile unit in Sarasota, which they did a poster for World AIDS Day, and that poster is in every health department in the state of Florida.
Wow.
They've gotten the proclamation from Sarasota County, all the way down to Naples. The Michael Kehoe is the organizer of that, and I told him about a story, and he says, I think you need to become a counselor. And I said, I don't want to go to school.
Right.
And then I got my 500, my 501, and got my certifications to do the rapid 15-minute test. You'll get your results in 15 minutes. And it went from there. And not only do they do that on the mobile unit, and they only have one sponsor, and they just recently started out with doing some fundraisings, and it was a success. It was over 500 people showed up.
So just real quick, I want to let the listeners know. So this is an HIV test that is mobile, correct?
Right, yes. And it's on a mobile unit. It's on a mobile Winnebago, I don't know what you call it. It's, you know, it's a camper. It has a bathroom and everything else.
Okay.
And they not only do that, they do the cholesterol, your glucose, your blood pressure, and the health department also comes on board on different counties, and they also do the STD test because they have the restroom. There's no charge except for one, and that's the cholesterol. And all this is, you know, the testing is, you know, it's from Tallahassee, and they respond to Tallahassee. They have their own test site numbers and everything else. They also are piggyback off of an office that's Hedges Pharmacy and in Sarasota, and that's who is the sponsor of the mobile unit. But when they check their, when I'm on the mobile and we're checking your cholesterol, your glucose, then we're trying to get them into a nutrition and you know, a cooking class to lower their cholesterol or, you know, get a better heart. So that's
who,
also,
who are the type of people that you actually do the readings for?
The readings, it can be anyone. We do Terrace Outreach. They, if you're going to have a health fair, you're going to have a blood mobile and everything else, there's no reason why you can't, you know, we can check the blood pressure also and cholesterol. And everything's confidential, so your insurance company's not going to know, you know, that you went on the mobile. No one's going to know. And we can check it all while you're there. Anyone can walk in. Anyone.
Excellent. So now, from what I understand, you've also been able to help out some of the homeless people that are out there in helping them have their blood checked and stuff. Is that correct?
Correct. There's other agencies, like there's a St. Paul's Lutheran Church has another group that's there that does the testing. They just got their rapid 15-minute also certifications. And also I've helped them with food for, you know, the holidays last year and everything else. Also, in trying to get money for, you know, kids that are low income and that, you know, they had to go through a uniform and all. But the homeless, we're getting ready to do on December 4th in downtown Clearwater. They have a farmer's market, and we are going to – we have a concierge services, how we think – you have to think outside the box.
I like
if
it.
You're going to, mm-hmm. So what we do is that I purchased an antique shoe shine chair years ago, and what we're going to do is that I have a veteran that is homeless, and I just went and got some clothes for him and everything else so he can wear, and he is going to help shine some shoes and just, you know, do that, and we're going to have pickups and drop-offs and get him some extra money in his pocket. But I'm going to serve hors d'oeuvres or chocolate-covered strawberries while you get your shoe shine.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and we can do the pickup drop-offs and everything else, and it gives them, you know, because we have the portable buffers and everything else. One thing that's nice is thinking outside that box is that I got a job at a major hotel chain, and I also get employee discounts for rooms, and every room has a kitchen. So, you know, I can go anywhere in the United States and get an employee rate, which is also nice.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like what I do, my business is that I'm a personal chef and a full concierge service. We take care of people that's been injured in accidents, going through chemotherapy, radiation, HIV, and type 2 diabetes. We create meals of what you have, or we do the grocery shopping for you. What I do is I go into your house, I look what you have, take an inventory. I have a nutritional program. I'm not a nutritionist, but I have a nutritional program. And I put everything in your likes, and then I create meals of your inventory that you have. And then I just break it down to, you know, do you want 1,500 calories or 1,200? And then I just break it down. I say breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snack, snacks, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snack, snack. And then I give them a week or 2 weeks' worth of meals out of what they have. And then it'll spit out their whole nutritional chart of what they're eating.
That sounds really, really cool. So right. Now, do you do that same type of thing when you meet these different people that are homeless and say, hey, you know, this is where your blood is at, and maybe, you know, obviously they're just trying to get
in the mobile unit, and they can check and let them know where their cholesterol, their glucose, and everything else. And, you know, and we also, you know, we don't recreate the wheel. We already have the tools from, you know, the handouts that you get from the, you know, Department of Agriculture. So we don't try to make another kill a tree, you know, printing another literature. We already use what we have and what's already out there, and we give them information, and then we ask them, you know, the better choices of their eating and everything else, and where they eat, and you know, go from there. If they need, you know, if they need a place, a food bank or something like that. Who Is Your Chef also donates certificates for High Heels for Hope. That's breast cancer. That's with Moffitt Cancer Center and Tampa. All your documents of everyone that has cancer goes there because it's a research center. We also did All Faith Food Bank. We've given certificates for raffle for there. And there's another organization that's on Martin Luther King in Sarasota. They have clothing. It's a thrift store and everything else. And there's a lady there. Dollar Dynasty, I think, is the name of it, and they help the families, low income, single families, with meals and everything else, and they get their food from All Faith Food Bank to help them with their meals. So
that's great,
you know. And I think what happened was the day that I got introduced and was talking and everything else. I got a gift certificate from work with $15. I took that $15 and bought a 13-pound turkey. And so I decided that I was going to be cooking. I got the permission, and since I was already going to be having the oven on anyway, I went ahead and cooked the turkey, and I had bought fresh cranberries, made a fresh cranberry sauce with orange zest and some honey, you know, and instead of using sugar, I did that, and a sweet potato and stuffing. And I had two meals. I went out to my local hangout, and there was one person that wasn't there, so I there was another homeless person, so I gave it to them.
So awesome to hear something like that, where, you know, you received something and you turned around and turned it into a blessing to give to someone else, and I think that's awesome. Right. And I'm sure the person was so appreciative, especially, you know, to get a not just a cooked meal, but a cooked meal from a professional chef. Makes, I'm sure, all the difference in the world from, you know, eating something from McDonald's to getting something prepared by a chef. Has to mean the world of difference.
And they weren't expecting it. I just, you know, came up and I talk to these this one gentleman all the time, which he's going to be helping me out and with the shoe shine and last year there was a gentleman that I met. He got hit by a car, and he was in the crosswalk, and it was freezing cold. I think it was like getting down into like the 30s, and we had some really bad rain, and he was camping out in the woods, and all his stuff was wet, and I got a cart, and I helped him get his stuff out of the woods, over the railroad tracks. I even have pictures of that, and he's on Facebook and everything else, and I still have his stuff. It's dry, it's safe. I have it in a tote, so whenever he needs it and everything else, he will have it. So this way that he doesn't have to spend a lot of money on storage for, you know, just the tote. But it's, you know, it's stuff that he's written, and I, you know, sometimes that's, you know, it's not worth anything to anyone else, but it's worth something to him.
Oh, of course. So, it's his personal stuff. So give me a little more insight on that. He was hit by a car.
Yep, he was hit by a car, and he was crossing the street, and then what? The other thing was that, so I let him use my phone and everything else to call a lawyer and everything else, and trying to get his paperwork in order so he will get the case numbers and everything else, and you know hearing how the city and everything else treated him and everything else, I said, no, we're not doing this. We're going to get you some help, and I had to give him a ride to get his he didn't know if he had cancer in the throat or something, you know, and I took him there, and it was benign and everything else, so it made me feel better that he didn't have cancer, so I gave him a ride and everything else, but I helped him out last year, so I tried to take, you know, at least one or two under my wing and you know, help him out and the best that I can.
So this was someone you had already known or gotten to get to know from you donating time, right?
There was another person that introduced me to this guy, and that's how we got started in the conversation. And this person happens to be a homeless person also, and told me, you know, what happened and everything else. I said, no, this is not right. Of course, when someone tells me that someone's putting words in your mouth and everything else, it doesn't make me happy.
Yeah, no, I could totally
understand. Especially when it's police officers or, you know, officials from, you know, that we, the people, are paying for help, and they make it seem like just because you're homeless that you're worth nothing. That's not right. You don't. If you're down, you don't keep on kicking them down because you're stripping them from everything that they have.
No, exactly. Exactly.
That is wrong. You cannot do that to a person. A person doesn't even do that to an animal. Why should we do it to a person?
Well, you know, and it's in today's society, you don't realize how quickly you can become homeless. I've heard many of stories where someone was working a full-time job, they got injured on the job, and workman's comp ran out, and they still weren't up to par. Next, you know what, their house payments were down. Now they're homeless, and you go, they end up in the street. You're like, how did I get here? I was part of society working, and now I'm not.
And what happens is that once you're tagged, it seems like once you're tagged in the police database as homeless, is that they go, oh, you're one of those. That's wrong. It doesn't make any sense. If a person's down, if you're going to talk to them, then you need to have resources of getting that person back up so this person can be something to the community and give them back to the community in taxes and working.
Right, rehabilitation as opposed to, well, you know, I do a lot of work with people that are in jail and people that come out of jail as far as a musician. And one of the things that I talk about with the different sheriffs is for 150 years we've been locking people up and as a deterrent, and it doesn't work. You need to rehabilitate these people so that way when they do come back into society, they don't just go right back to doing the same thing again. They go, hey, you know what? I want to contribute now to society as opposed to just lock me up again because I'm getting 3 free meals. It's not a deterrent to them anymore. To them, they're just like, okay, this is part of life. They don't look at it like it's something bad.
Exactly. And also with, you know, it's like even with a person that's been incarcerated, they spent their time and everything else. Now they have a record and everything else. They can't get a job. Or you go for a job and they check your credit. You already lost your house. You lost everything. You lost your car. You lost your kids. You lost your dog. You lost everything. Now the police officers are harassing you. And it's like, and it's just how far can you go down? And now you try to go for a job, and now you have the credit companies using them to check your credit to get you a job or nothing. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. That is not serving a purpose of getting this person a job if their credit's bad. You know, they made a mistake. Everyone makes a mistake.
Right.
Even a police officer knows that the average person breaks 50 laws a day, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, you know? And I was talking to a lawyer one time, and I said, well, we need to pass a law. We got to give it a catchy phrase. I'll let you see mine if you let me see yours. Anyone that checks your credit rate or your credit report, you automatically get a copy of theirs.
Hmm. I'm sure that would stop a lot of the investigating right on the spot.
Well, the credit companies are making money out of this.
Yeah.
They're making money out of it, and the person that they're making the money out of it is losing a job.
Yeah,
what's right? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and, you know, again, going back to once these people come back into society, they need something to move forward into, because if not, then they're just going to go right back to what they were doing before. I'm counseling someone right now who spent a year in jail, and he's emailing me. It's funny because I actually was performing at the L.A. County Jail, and this young kid was about to get out. He says, I'm out of here in a week. I says, oh, really? And I says, you know, you should get involved with this other program called Emerging Leaders that will really help you get on the right track. And he says, I'd love to contact you when I get out. And I said, sure, here's my card. And sure enough, he contacted me, and he said, it's so difficult just to start thinking the straight and narrow and not go back to what I was doing. And he goes, obviously I'm surrounded by temptation, because anybody who he was hanging around with prior to his arrest are still out in the streets doing what they were doing. So he's trying to find new people and new friends to hang out with who aren't as influential to put him back in jail. And he doesn't want to go back in jail, and he's trying to go, how do I do this?
And the problem is that even if he's standing next to that person, he's going to be guilty by association.
Right. Right, because if they both have a record, they're like, oh, well, you already spent a year, and now you're hanging out with this guy who's got a warrant out for his arrest, so you're probably guilty, too. And you're like, no, I just know the guy.
Yep. And it's like, you know, when you look at some of the – one of those book bags or something like that, you know, they're wanting to know what you have in there. You know, it's like, and it's stopping people for that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just how you dress and everything else. There is an advocate in Clearwater. She kind of tells people, you know, you don't dress like this or don't dress like that. You can get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And she's been homeless for like 8 years. And she's trying to get, you know, a job and everything else. But, you know, it's hard.
No, definitely difficult. What I'm going to do is we're going to take a very short break, and we're going to come right back with Melvin, and we're going to talk to him a little bit more about shoe shining and the homeless and how that can help better their lives into a new direction. We'll be right back.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today.
Dillman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook.com/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting now some good news for your soul.
And we are back here with Melvin Hester. He is the president of HoosierChef.com, and he's also a volunteer for CARES Outreach Services. He's in Clearwater, Florida. We're talking to him via the phone. And tell us a little bit more. Earlier you were talking about how you've helped out some of the homeless people that you've come across doing shoe shining. Give us a little more insight on that and tell us a little bit more.
Well, you know, the idea also when you see a person that's on the street that's holding the sign and saying, you know, buy me here, come over here, sell the, we're selling this. Well, the one thing is that Hoosier Chef is that we created a shoeshine chair. We have an antique shoeshine. And we're just going back into the basics, is giving back service. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be out there with the sign if you were giving service.
Yes.
So this is, you know, thinking outside. When you have a person that's in a shoeshine chair, you have 7 minutes to 10 minutes to get a questionnaire, how you like this, here's a sample. And we will do this at coffee shops. We will do this at, you know, sub shops, sandwich shops, or you know, so this way that they're having something, we'll try, you want a sample, try this, and shine their shoes and give them a part of a service. When you would be paying a person out there holding that sign, trying to direct traffic to you, when you can be providing a service.
So you combine the shoe shining along with some type of hors d'oeuvre or some type of snack or something that you've created.
Correct. Right. This way, that you can get that information for that client. And would you like to go on have a new, you know, subscribe to a newsletter and everything else and get coupons? There's, you know, it's a marketing tool to help out to get those customers returning back into, you know, to come in there for a sandwich, come in there and get their questions. The reason you don't have any traffic, well, how do you know? You have to ask the question, what's wrong? What are we doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this is one way of getting, you know, the person relaxed and get them in the chair. You get them polished and everything else. But the also is that with Hoosier Chef Incorporated is that we are a corporation. And if our employees can build into the corporation and be a stockholder of Hoosier Chef Incorporated.
That is great.
And so it's open door, and we're going to see where we can go with it. And everyone has, when they're doing an event and everything else, they're always thinking, well, how are we going to get the people here? Food. So
yeah,
what we do is that we're providing food with a service.
Right, and the service is being provided to them via some homeless people that are learning a skill, if you will. I mean, it's a skill. But they're also, I think, getting empowered to say, hey, I'm not just begging. I'm earning my keep, and I'm earning something
right.
for what I'm doing. So that's what I really feel powerful about, is that when you can self-empower someone, you're giving them their dignity back, and they're not just begging for money. They're saying, hey, it's like the guys that'll wipe your window down and then ask for change as opposed to just ask for change. They at least feel like, let me give you something. Let me help you move. Let me help you cross the street, whatever it might be. So that way they feel like they're offering something, because a lot of these people, you'd be surprised to find out what they used to do before they became homeless. They've all had normal jobs somewhere along the line. They fell through the cracks, and it could be just a temporary thing. Like, hey, they were homeless for a month, a week, 2 weeks, and then they got back on their feet. Others might have taken longer. So it all depends on how you treat them to self-empower them to get back into society and get back into having a normal lifestyle.
Making them feel like they're part of it. And no one wants when you become homeless, you don't want to be homeless. You want to have a job. You want to please your family and everything else, and bring it home, and you know, being able to, you know, have the, you know, a roof over your head. No one wants to be homeless. I think of it's just, you know, they have to live with what they have. And but not only it's the homeless people that's doing the shoe shines, but it's also it's veterans. You know, there's so many veterans out there that cannot find a job, and you know, there's going to be a lot of them that's going to be coming home. And, you know, if that's what's going to, you know, put food on their table or a roof over their head, why
yeah.
not? There was a gentleman that works at this the same hotel that I work at, and he told me, he goes, you know, everyone was saying, you're crazy, you're stupid, I can't believe you're going to do that. You know, well, Florida, I don't know if you've seen our shoes, they're flip-flops.
Yeah, I lived in Florida for about 10 years, so I know.
There, he told me there was a gentleman that had a shoe shine business here in Clearwater, and now he owns 4 hotels.
Really?
Yes.
He shined the right shoes then. He shined the right
yes.
pair of shoes.
And you don't see that many shoe shine. You know, now you don't want someone just bringing up a box and just starting to do it. I mean, we have an antique shoe shine chair that they sit in. I kind of custom it and put some cushion on it and everything else. And we'll be taking some pictures on our Facebook. And you can look me up at Melvin Hester. You'll see we have a logo with 2 Salmetto palms. A red ribbon and a key underneath that, and a chef's hat in between the 2 Salmetto palms, which is the native plant, which the fruit is used in prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
So, and of course, the red ribbon is, you know, it tells you how we came up with the logo. People don't realize. When I was the executive chef at New College of Florida, it was USF New College of Florida for 5 years, and we talk about economics a lot, and it's like, how much, if you save $5 a day, that's like $250 a month.
Right.
Like, that's like a quarter of rent.
Right.
Or half of rent.
Right.
If you're sharing. So, if you just look at that, now how much would it cost? And it's like, and if you were in the food service industry, how much do you spend a month in groceries? If you're in the food service industry, how much do you think that you would save if you eat before you go home?
All right. A lot.
A lot of money. A lot of money. And it's like, I used to work at a ski resort in Park City, Utah for 10 winters. I worked at Timberline Lodge in Mount Hood, where they filmed part of The Shining. I opened a Mexican restaurant downtown Portland. I have traveled all over the United States as a truck driver and worked in Yellowstone National Park for 5 summers.
Wow.
And I, you know, there's one thing I've done is it's all about service and, you know, and people. It's what I feed on is, you know, getting out in the community and talking to people and hopefully making them smile and, you know, with the things that I've done and everything else. You can do anything that you want to do, but you have to have a goal. And,
yes.
And I've fulfilled all the goals. The reason I've done the HIV testing is that when I was working in Utah, my first time ever meeting someone with full-blown AIDS, and that was in 83. I was doing Meals on Wheels.
Okay.
And watching that, I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then when I, you know, came up and met, and then someone told me when I was here just recently, they said, well, you need to meet Michael. And I said, Michael, who's Michael? Because I told him a story what happened, and it's like, and how we got to that and everything else. And then Michael, and that's how I got started with the HIV testing and counseling. And there's when we've been in the mobile unit, and we will go down Martin Luther King. I mean, the hugs and just the joy of going down there and giving back to the community, and they loved us. And Michael does a really great job, is that he gives out over 5,000 condoms a month.
So, you know, and you know what? That is excellent, because he's all about prevention.
Right.
And, you know, if the healthcare were to take that attitude of prevention, we wouldn't have half the sicknesses that we do. I think they focus more on the, let's just make sure you get sick, so that way we just keep the cure coming.
We don't know where our healthcare is going to go. And him, you know, for, you know, and that's why, you know, he's a 501(c), and you know, it's like he's helping prevent STDs and HIV, you know. You know, some people, when you look at some of these people that are on the street, you know, it's like, you know, the question is, it's like you were talking that you work in the, you know, with people that's in and out of prison. Most prisons don't test you until you're leaving, not while you're going in, because they're probably afraid that they don't want to spend the money on your meds or the counseling.
Yeah, which is pretty sad. Yeah, I would probably guess you're right on that.
Yeah, and here's the, you know, the cities and states will tell you you have two choices: you go to jail or you go to camp. And it's like, and some people, it's like, what's the oldest profession? Some people get money.
Right.
You know, and so, and it's like, do you think that they can afford protection? Probably not.
No. No,
probably
not.
Do you think that they care?
No.
Probably not. So I think that CARES Outreach is doing a heck of a job of helping the community and bringing awareness and everything else. And they just had they were just at the Sarasota Herald Tribune, and they had some schools and some singing groups and the Boys and Girls Club and everything else. And we just need to, you know, educate, and make people aware of, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and where to get help if they need it. There's help out there. But you have to. A lot of people are afraid to ask.
Right.
And I remember. Some people are so stubborn that, you know, they won't want, you know, to make you think that they're below something or whatever. And it's like, and it's just, you know, it just, you know, but that's wrong. If you need help, it's like people with cancer and everything else. There's help out there. You just need to you need to be persistent, mm-hmm. and you need to be that squeaky wheel that gets the oil, because you're not going to get nowhere. So you need to, you know, get out of the library and get educated and find out where it's at. And if one person doesn't have the answer, don't stop until you get the answer.
Exactly. Exactly. There's people like you that are out there helping so many that maybe are afraid to ask those questions, or afraid to know if they have a disease or have a problem. So the fact that you're doing the HIV work and, you know, handing out the condoms for prevention, I think that's just excellent. And when you were saying earlier, the hugs and the smiles that you get, to me that's what makes it all worthwhile, is that you are giving some time of yourself to do these things, and people really appreciate it.
Yep.
They really do. And whenever you've done any type of volunteer work, it's the appreciation you get afterwards. You go like, wow, these guys really need it and they really appreciate it. It's not like you're going there and doing it, they could care less. It's like, no, they really appreciate you taking the time out to do it. So that's what's rewarding for me. When I've done it,
yep,
and I can see it's
changing. It takes the first step is to walk on the mobile, to saying, hey, you know, I might have made a mistake or whatever it is. Stepping on that mobile, and it's scary. I mean, it's frightening. You stepping on a mobile, I mean, you have to have, you know, to step on there. And it's like anyone, it's like to go in there and to get that test. And I remember years ago, it was like you had to wait weeks for it and everything else. And that's what how I got started was that there was a person that went did not want to go to the health department, and he went and so and it's like this is before I came a counseling and everything else, and he went out and bought this $100 almost $100 over the counter test kit that he had to mail in, and this person was sweating bullets. I mean, because he had to go and tell his family, and he was thinking of a gun that would resolve the issue of, you know, the disgrace or whatever if he got something and everything else. And it's like, whoa!
Yeah.
No. Here's my phone number. Don't you ever think of that. It's like no. And then I told Michael that story, you know, with this person, and Michael says, you know, and that's because I cared. I, you know, gave him my phone number. You know, he's maybe 3,000 miles away, and I said, I don't care. We got Skype. You know, you need to talk to me. You know. Because I don't want anyone going through, that. You know, and it's like, and whatever your issues with your family and everything else, you need to talk it out. I said you need to talk to each other. I said and deal with this. But suicide is not the answer. It is going to leave a scar on your whole family.
Yeah.
Not the answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you're out there doing this type of work. Thank you for taking the time out to talk to us and to let our listeners know what you're doing out there in Florida. I know we do have some listeners out there in Florida. So, once again, where can they reach you? So if they want to find out a little bit more about you, just give us a website or a Facebook so people can reach out to you.
Well, you can go on. I have a Facebook. I have three Facebook pages, and it's Melvin Hester. Or Who Is Your Chef, Inc., Facebook. And you'll find the logo, and you'll see, Did You Eat Your Vegetables? That's my Facebook. And there's, you know, I have a page for those people that are gay that, you know, don't want to be, you know, there's stuff out there and everything else. So I do have a gay page also, and that one has a yellow lab. And he has to check you out before you get in. If you don't have any rainbows, you don't get in.
Gotcha.
And then they can go to Melvin at whoisyourchef.com is my email address.
Excellent, Melvin. Once again, thank you very much. You are listening to Humanitarian Radio. We'll be right back.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
Wow, so don't you think that guy Melvin was just awesome? I think we need a lot more Melvins in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the things that he's doing is just, you know, he's doing it for the right reasons.
And, that's it, yep.
You know, he's out there just giving of himself. And like I said earlier in our interview, he's someone who's out there actually trying to empower people.
Yeah.
What they're actually all about and trying to give them some self-esteem to get back on their feet. So, you know, if you're out there, that's the kind of thing that I hope encourages you to do the same and get involved some way.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned your song State of Abundance. I think this is a perfect time for you to play that. So why don't you tell people what that song is about and how you got to writing it, that type of thing.
Yeah, we were talking about the State of Abundance earlier in the beginning of the show. And so I thought I would play it for everyone right now. And what the state of abundance is, you know, when you begin to focus on what you do have as opposed to what you don't have, you start to realize you have a lot more to give. And that will eventually bring more things into alignment that you actually desire. So you're not coming from a place of lack. You're coming from a place of abundance. And that's how I came up with the song. And I wanted to put that message out there that I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings. You know, that's the message I want to
say. That I never saw before.
That I never saw before.
Totally.
no matter how small. Yeah, there you go. So without any further ado, this is the song State of Abundance. That was State of Abundance by Saint Tone. You can find that song on iTunes, on CD Baby, or Bandcamp, or you can go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. Get your fill of some positive music today. What do you think, Jane? Do you think that's where they should go for their gifts this year?
I do. Great stocking stuffers.
Yeah.
Another thing, a place they can go to catch you is humanitarianradio.com and Humanitarian Radio Facebook, because we are connected to St. Tone all over those places as well. So, Tony, being in Florida today, I noticed on TV there's different ads, East Coast than West Coast, and today I saw a ad for people looking for bell ringers for Salvation Army.
Really?
And it reminded me of the time that you and I did that for the Rotary Club in Englewood, Florida. We volunteered to be Salvation Army bell ringers. Do you recall?
Yes, I do. And actually, I took a photo of that. What I decided to do to be a bell ringer, and just so you know, these are people that stand out in front of the stores and ring the bell during the holiday season to have money donated to the Salvation Army.
And the Salvation Army then cook meals and provide warm clothing and blankets and things like that throughout the winter with this money. So it's an important fundraising event for them.
Totally. Totally. And one of the things that they ask is just that you ring a bell. And so I wanted to take that a step further. And so I wanted to play guitar and ring a bell. And I tried to figure out how I was gonna do that. And what I did is I ended up strapping it to my sneaker. And so I was tapping my foot and ringing. And I got a good amount of tips, or I collected a good amount of money, I would say. But Janie happened to be on the other side of the storefront, and she decided to outdo me. And someone had a boombox. I guess there was a kid who had a boombox out there who was collecting carriages. And Janie was grabbing all the old men and dancing with them. And so she was making way more money than I did.
$5 a crack. They got to spin around.
Nice. No more handful of dimes for a dance. Janie's like, $5, and you get to dance with me for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was fun. We did really well, and the store was just thrilled because their customers were having a blast. But moreover, Salvation Army was really happy because we had raised a phenomenal amount of money just having fun outside of a grocery store in a little small town. So it was definitely a cool thing. And obviously they're looking for help because they're putting out money for a TV ad, which is such a shame that they even have to get to that.
Well, you know what? It brings awareness. So if you've ever wanted to be that person who rings a bell out front of the store, you know, you don't have to just do it in a simple way. You can get real creative with it. You can bring a boombox and ring the bell to every song that's being played. Or if you play guitar or some other instrument, violin or something, strap it onto your foot and be creative.
Even if you sing, get a couple people to come with you and have a blast, hang out for a few hours. They do like 4-hour shifts, so it's not bad.
Yeah.
And play some Christmas carols on a CD or on your iPhone now and have a good time, because we sure did. I had a great time that day. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I definitely would do it again. It was a lot of fun. And just seeing people's reactions to, you're playing guitar in front of the Salvation Army bucket. I'm like, yes, yes I am. And for years, I'd always seen someone out front, and I never thought that I could or would do it. And once I did it, it's a really cool experience to have. So get out there and do it. I think we should do it again this year. So as soon as you get back.
I think so.
Yeah.
I like the idea. We've been asked to go Christmas caroling, which I've never done before, so I think that we're going to have to get out on the streets and sing in that manner, Tony.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
How do you like the way I just threw you under the bus?
Nice. Nice. So where are we going to sing Christmas carols?
Somewhere downtown L.A. We've been asked to join a caroling group, you and I.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we've done some stuff in hospitals and stuff like that before, so.
Yeah, totally. It'll be a blast. The difference is we'll have to learn more songs.
As long as I get this cheat sheet, I'll be fine.
You'll be in good shape.
I'll be in great shape, yeah.
Cheat sheet, you have to tie a flashlight to your head, and away we go.
Yeah.
You'll be in the dark, don't you?
So listen, that's all the time we have today. Thank you again for listening to Humanitarian Radio. We will see you all next week. And be thankful.
Thankful for what you got.
Live in the state of abundance. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.